Trumpeter Mary Bowden is always drumming up new ways to get her music out there, and recently I caught up with her when she was in San Jose, California. That's where she was meeting Canadian composer Vivian Fung, and they were starting their collaboration. They're working on a brand new trumpet concerto together. You're going to hear about that and much more, including Mary Bowden's most recent project. It's a recording, her third solo recording, and it's titled Reverie. This is New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julie Amacher. I'm talking with Mary Elizabeth Bowden and Canadian composer Vivian Fung, and they are collaborating on a new project. It happens to be a trumpet concerto. Now, has this concerto started yet? Is it still just in the imagination, Vivian?
Yes, so we are just starting to talk about it, and we're gathering. Right now, we have 6 orchestras on board. We're aiming for 8 orchestras to come on board to commission this project. And the premiere will take place this coming March in Erie, Pennsylvania.
And so why do you need 8 orchestras?
So the way consortiums work is each orchestra contributes a smaller amount than the full commission. And that way, it works out really well for everybody because everything is divided up among several organizations. And also, Mary gets to perform it a bunch of times and gets to tour with it at least 8 times.
That's what I was wondering, if they were committing to a performance as well. Mary, tell me what it's like to work with a composer on a brand new work like this.
Well, I'm really excited to be working closely with Vivian. Yesterday, I played some selections from solos for her, and we were listening to the different sound colors of the different types of trumpets. And so I think I'm going to really enjoy working one-on-one with her to really create a special trumpet part.
Vivian, what is it you're listening for or looking for as you're getting ready to craft a new piece of music?
I think it's important for me to get to know Mary as a person and get to know her playing and her strengths and maybe a little bit about her and her maybe a narrative. We've been talking about her struggles making it as a soloist in today's world, especially as a female soloist, trumpet soloist. And I find that quite compelling, and I'm going to mull over that, and that will likely affect my writing and my overall musical narrative when composing the piece.
So what is most challenging for each of you in this process? Vivian, why don't you start?
Well, I've written many times for trumpet before, but this is the first time I'm writing it as a solo virtuosic trumpet concerto. So I think I will need to learn more intimately about the trumpet, to understand more about the idiom, the genre, through Mary.
So Mary, what's most challenging for you as you start to work with Vivian on this concerto?
Well, I think working with Vivian is the fun part, and really being able to share the music and my strengths. And I think the challenging part is getting the piece known, and we've worked really hard to get orchestras on board, and so my job is going to be to share the piece with the world once it's finished and really keep promoting the piece and trying to get it performed as much as possible.
I want to ask you about how women in classical music can create their own opportunities. Mary, how are you doing that?
I love giving women opportunities to perform and to collaborate with me, and that has been something really important to me, and that is why I started Seraph Brass, my all-female brass ensemble. And for my last CD, Reverie, I collaborated with the Casilla Ensemble, and they have a very similar mission to Seraph's. And so I felt it, for my first concerto to be written for me, it was really important to me to find a compelling women composer so we could continue to really showcase women musicians.
And how did you find Vivian Fung?
Well, I was searching through a lot of composers, and actually a friend of a friend suggested Vivian's name, and the first piece I listened to was her violin concerto, and that piece really drew me in, and I started listening to more of the other works, and all of her works are very compelling and have lots of emotion and sound colors, and I felt like she would really write something interesting and new and innovative for the trumpet.
You mentioned that the Cassia Ensemble has a similar mission to that of Seraph Brass. What is that mission?
They're dedicated to promoting female leadership and entrepreneurship in the arts through quality collaboration and performance. And so when I was thinking about my next album, I really wanted to hire a string group, and I wasn't sure how to find those musicians. And a friend of mine, Don Posey, who's in the Cassia Ensemble, told me about this group, and they wanted to invite me as a soloist. And so I thought that was a perfect opportunity to read through some of my new arrangements with them. And we clicked right away, and the vibe was really great. And so I asked them if they wanted to collaborate on a longer-term basis. And so we've recorded the CD, and this year we've done a couple of tours, and next season we will continue touring.
In order to have a modern career in the arts, it sounds like you really have to be an entrepreneur. What does that look like from your perspective, Mary, and then from your perspective, Vivian?
I'm always creating my own projects, as you've seen since we first talked in 2015, and Seraph Brass has been my baby, and we do 40 to 60 concerts a year now, and that's been a really exciting project to cultivate. And now I'm cultivating this new project with strings with the Cassia Ensemble, giving myself another opportunity to do more touring. And now with this concerto with Vivian, now I will get to solo with more orchestras because we're bringing this new work into the world. And so all these opportunities form a career. And then in midst of that, I was asked to audition for Shenandoah Conservatory, which I was not looking for, and I was offered the position. So now I'm going to be starting a full-time teaching position in the fall because they loved that I've created my own career and I can help students think along those lines of having a career that involves more collaboration.
And boy, don't music conservatories and music schools need more of that direction? So many of these kids don't really know what they're going to do once they graduate with this degree. Do you think that's true?
I think so. I remember when I was in school, I was told that the orchestra way was the only way. And I love playing in orchestra, and I'm really grateful for that training. I still play in a lot of orchestras. But for me, I love the variety of being a soloist and chamber musician, and so I'm much happier traveling a lot and doing my own projects. And so I kind of figured that out on my own when I got a little bit older. So it'll be nice to share with students that there isn't just one path, that they have to find their own path and figure out what makes them happy and what motivates them.
Well, I think, Mary, now we'll dive into your new recording. Your latest release is called Reverie or Daydream. Each of the pieces on this recording have a special meaning to you and reflect the path of your life. Can you talk a little bit about that path and how some of these pieces might fit in along the way?
Sure. So when I came up with this idea, I really wanted to highlight pieces that I really love, and I wanted to collaborate with strings. And so Rick DeYoung created these new arrangements for trumpet and strings and harp and harpsichord. One of my favorite pieces on the CD is the cornet arrangement of Norma. And I recorded this on my very first cornet, Yamaha cornet, that my parents bought me when I was 10 years old. And I even used the same mouthpiece, and it's this very dark, velvety tone, and I really felt like I was coming back home with that instrument. And so, you know, picking pieces that really shaped my path when I was very young, that's what this CD was really about.
That's kind of interesting to me because it seems like a lot of musicians that I have talked to over the years don't really hang on to those early instruments, but you decided to do that. Why was that?
Well, my parents at the time, when I wanted to start playing the trumpets, my first teacher mentioned that starting on the cornet would be more helpful because it just has such a rich tone, and he really believed that if a trumpet player starts on cornet, they'll have a richer tone over time. And my parents, they're not musicians, but they really, you know, took what he was saying. And then my dad was like, let's get her a professional model cornet. We're not going to get her a student model. And so the fact that they invested in that first instrument, I think, was very significant for me, because that just gives you the right tools to start with, and you're not fighting your instrument. It's a really beautiful instrument to play, and then you can really develop that core sound that stays with you the rest of your life.
Oh, that's wonderful. I know you use a variety of trumpets on this recording to showcase the different nuances that the instrument can do. Is there kind of an unusual example you can share that you might point out that we might not catch initially as we're listening to these pieces?
Well, you'll hear a lot of the E flat trumpet, which is a kind of a lighter, more singing quality than the standard C trumpet. And I also use two different piccolo trumpets. So on the first track, the Bach Bedaneri, I play a piston valve piccolo trumpet. And then on the other high piccolo pieces, I play a Scherzer rotary piccolo trumpet, which is a little bit different than the piston valve. It has a different color of sound. And of course, I love the flugelhorn, and you'll hear that darker color on some of the tracks, like the Bach aria and also the McMichael work.
The title track of this recording is Reverie, and there is a piece on this recording called Reverie by Claude Debussy. Was that kind of where this theme started from? Was maybe at that point?
Yes, I really love this work, and I heard it and fell in love with it, and I really wanted to have a trumpet arrangement of it. And my husband's also a professional trumpet player, and when I was thinking about this piece, and Claude Debussy, who is my favorite composer, my husband mentioned to me that his teacher actually recorded this. And his teacher was Robert Sullivan, who's principal of Cincinnati Symphony now, and I looked through his recordings, and he actually recorded the three pieces, the Debussy suite that I recorded. And it's kind of a funny, an interesting collaboration, because this was actually taken from my husband's influence of Robert Sullivan's playing. And I got Sullivan's permission to make these arrangements for trumpet and strings. And I really do believe that these arrangements that he made should be in the trumpet repertoire, much like the Gershwin preludes that we often play. Really innovative, fun arrangement, and so I really wanted to share that with the strings. So it kind of overlapped with my husband's influence. My husband and I practice together a lot, and he's really influenced my playing, so it was really fun to share his teacher's arrangements.
James Stevenson wrote a piece called Spitfire for trumpet and string quartet. Now, I was trying to think if I've ever heard a piece for trumpet and string quartet. Is that kind of an unusual combination?
It is, and that's why I found this recording to be so important, because so many of my trumpet player friends ask, is there anything for trumpet and string quartet? And so now we've created all these new arrangements. And Jim wrote this piece a while ago, and I knew about it and really wanted to play it and bring it back to life. And Jim has been a friend of ours for many years, and his music is always on my stand in some way. And so I love to include his pieces on any CD that I make, because I really love his music and he's a great friend. And I really believe that this piece, Spitfire, is a really special piece.
And the title's kind of, well, almost humorous, I guess, because he talks about spit actually being something you have to deal with as a trumpeter.
He's the master of puns. Spitfire was actually a name of a boat, but the piece has nothing to do with sailing. So he just really liked the name, mixing, you know, spit and fire and having it be the name of the boat. It kind of popped into his mind. And I love the piece so much because it has this exciting energy with the trumpet and strings, but then there's these beautiful moments that just really come up with just a few measures of these most beautiful, pristine moments. It's definitely become a favorite piece of ours to play with Cassia.
There's another new work by Sarah Kirkland Snyder called Chrysalis. Tell me about this piece and the poem upon which it's based.
Sure. So Sarah and I were classmates at Yale, and I've always loved her music so much. And I love taking music from the vocal repertoire and performing it on the trumpet. And I really loved the poem. It's by a writer that she knew at Yale called Ivana Yi. And it's a very short poem. Do you mind if I read it?
No, I wish you would.
The poem I have not written comes to me in my sleep. A woman dressed in white. I have been waiting for you, I tell her. After all this time, why are you still unwritten? Without shame, she slips out of her dress. I tried to become a poem, she says, until I became human. And after reading this poem, I really loved the piece. It's a short piece, it's a small gem, and it's very moving, and it was really fun to play. It's originally for violin, cello, and soprano, and so soprano lines often can translate pretty well to the trumpet.
There's another composer on this recording with whom I believe you've worked in the past, Catherine McMichael, and she wrote a piece that's, I guess it's based on a popular dance of West Indian origin, which is kind of like the foxtrot. It's called August Beguin.
Yes, and this is originally for string quartet, and then she later adapted it for Barry sax and piano. And so when we were discussing a piece that could possibly work for this album, she mentioned this to me, and it was a beautiful fit for the flugelhorn. It's a very nice, summery sound, relaxing dance with the strings, and so it was a nice addition for The Color of Sound to add another flugelhorn track.
You mentioned that some of these pieces you've lived with for a very long time, which makes me wonder, did you learn anything about yourself in the process of putting this recording together?
I did, because some of the pieces I was revisiting. You know, I've played Girl with the Flaxen Hair on piccolo for many years because of my mentor, Jens Lindemann, has recorded this piece, and he had me play it when I was first studying with him. And so that's stayed in my repertoire, and it's a piece that I always revisit. And kind of, you know, going through old ideas of phrasing and making things new was very exciting for me, especially Norma. That's a piece that I literally started practicing in sixth grade. And I remember those many hours that I spent practicing triple tonguing as slow as possible. And really coming home to the fact that all of those slow hours of practice were worth it. Because it's a piece that I kind of took a 10-year break from, And so coming back to it and having it feel easy and fun was a treat.
A new recording titled Reverie, featuring trumpeter Mary Bowden with the Cassia Ensemble. That's New Classical Tracks from American Public Media, with special thanks to Valerie Kaler for producing this episode. I'm Julie Amacher.